In the book of Romans chapter 5, we have a very critical piece. And the critical piece that we have in the book of Romans chapter 5, it's a revelation of the status of the justice system of heaven. Now, I need to take us through the route in explaining to us the consequences of the rebellion of Adam and how it affected each and every one of us and put us on the wrong side of the justice system of heaven. One of the things that we had serious need of was such redemption that had the capacity to transport us from the wrong side of justice and to bring us into the right side of justice. Now, this is very critical, because if we are not on the right side of justice, each and every one of us, no matter how robust, no matter how beautiful, a sentence of death will be hanging on you. And any form of progress that you may attain onto in that state, it's a closer state of existence to the culmination of the position of God's justice system. So there was a critical need that we had, and the need was to be transported to the right side of justice. Hallelujah. So all the technicalities that are associated with that situation is summed up in a very quiet scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. For he had made him who knew to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. As we study tonight, you find out that the righteousness that is spoken about in this scripture was given to us as a gift. Now, take note that any gift that God makes available to your life, you will need light to unravel its full potential, because you might be in custody of that gift and still be a victim of what the gift guarantees you freedom from if you don't have light. Are you still with me? Okay. So the Bible, well, if you look at this scripture, you'll find out that there's a principle at work in the midst of this scripture, and that principle is the principle of substitution. There were many ways, because our God is not limited to options, to ways, to possibilities, but he decided to acquire our salvation using the principle of substitution. That is to say that in the realm of the spirit, substitution is a possibility. It can be exploited by the divine. It can also be exploited by the demonic. And so in the demonic realm, someone whose years have been fulfilled can negotiate for an extension through the principle of substitution, because it's a possibility in the realm of the spirit. And so such a person can bring someone that has a longer shelf life to be sacrificed so that they can tap into the potential of the person's longevity and add more years to his or her pilgrimage upon the face of the earth. It was the principle of substitution that was used to procure our salvation. Are you there? I say, are you there? Are you there? Because I would like us to really profile the gift of righteousness and how we can fully maximize that legal gift that was handed out to us as the Father, taking advantage of the principle of substitution and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, wields his sovereignty to declare us righteous in the courts of heaven. Let's take a quick look at the scripture before us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You are welcome again to the house of God this evening. Amen, amen, amen. For he had made him to be sin for us. The one that knew no sin was made to become sin on our behalf. And the reason for this is so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. The one paying the price is the one who was made sin. And all the judgments that was supposed to be on us was transmitted to him because he was made such, even though he knew nothing about sin. Now, I need to show us how that scripture really plays out. First of all, one of the judgments that comes upon, now this is sin in the singular, not sins in the plural. In our study of the book of Matthew, you are going to realize that from Matthew chapter 3, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 to chapter 3 verse 8, sin is in the singular. If you continue from Romans, too many scriptures, Lord help me. Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 to chapter 3 verse 2, chapter 3 verse 8, sin is in the singular. Are you there? By the time you pick up from chapter 5 verse 8, sin is in the plural. First of all, I would like to tell us that sins is not plural for sin in the theological sense of it. So when you see sin in the singular, sin is a nature. This sin in the singular is a nature. If you want to stop beer drinking in Macaulay, what options do you explore? You go to every beer parlor and you seize the beer bottle? Evangelist, is that what you do? What do? Want to stop beer drinking in Benue State? What are we going to do? Huh? You're on television. You're on television right now. So, if you want to stop beer drinking, you know when COVID, there was lockdown in Makurdi, COVID lockdown in the city of Makurdi, beer parlors, beer gardens were functional. They were not locked down. If we to take another force stronger than the force that was at work during COVID to stop beer drinking in Makurdi. So if you want to do that, how do you achieve that?
You enter the root of it and you close down the where they are producing it.
Now, so you go to the factory and you shut down the factory and you discover that distribution of beer will stop. But if you go to the beer parlors and you seize their drinks, they are going to get more supplies. Are you there? So sins are products that derive from that nature called sin. And if we want to do damage to the framework of the fallen man, we need to go to the root cause, and that's why Jesus was poised at destroying sin, the nature, because it's sin, the nature, that produces sins, the actions. Are you there? Now, according to this scripture, Jesus was made sin, the nature. I don't know how that was achieved. Maybe that's one of the questions I have when I get to heaven. I'll say, how was this achieved? Because Jesus knew no sin. Jesus was not a product of the seed of man. Jesus was a product of the Holy Ghost and the woman. The woman was a conduit through which he came into manifestation, and the DNA that he carried was the DNA of divinity that pointed to the fact that the Father was his AB, was his source. There was nothing defective in humanity that entered into Jesus. Jesus was a pure breed. He was a citizen of heaven by excellence. Now, the Bible is saying that he became sin, the nature. Are you there? He was made so by an act of God's sovereignty, so that he can qualify to receive every form of damnation that will accrue to such a nature from the perspective and the position of the justice system of heaven. And when Jesus satisfied the claims of divine justice, there was only one destiny left for us that believe in him. We became eligible to embracing everything that he left in order for him to fulfill the requirements of justice. Namely, life eternal. Namely, forgiveness of sin. Namely, regeneration, renewal, transformation, conformation to his image. Namely, glorification. So the purpose and the objective, the vision that God had for humankind came into view again because the justice system of heaven was satisfied. And justice, judgment, found its satisfaction in the substitution that took place that transported us to the right side of the justice of God. Our salvation would have been defective if what he provided for us was the ability to have cars and buildings and certificates from universities. If that's all that was in view, when you enjoy your cars and you acquire your certificates, you still stand before God in condemnation. But the Bible says that God made this Jesus to become the sin nature. And when he became the sin nature, he received ample judgment from the justice system of heaven that was due for that nature, making it possible for us to have a different designation, which is the righteousness of God in him. Notice that there is a statement there, which is a qualifying statement, even though it's very quiet. We are only the righteousness of God in the same Jesus that provided a possibility of escaping the vengeance, the wrath of God's justice. Are you still there? That means each and every one of us can no longer be considered apart from Jesus. The context, the implication of this gift that we have received, which is the gift of righteousness, puts us in a condition where we can no longer be separate from Jesus, because he's the one that authored the path that brought us salvation. So your destiny is what? In common union with Jesus. You are not following me. It's in common union. It is his liberty that you are walking in now. And he took your own judgment. It is in his life you are walking in now, because he took your place in death. And this required an act of God's sovereignty in order to make it to pass. And the one that paid the price in this arrangement is Jesus. My duty tonight is to explain to us the benefit that we have as believers because we are the righteousness of God in him. That righteousness status is a gift that we received from heaven. Is that clear? It's not clear. It's a gift that we received from heaven. Maybe I need to make an illustration from an Old Testament scenario that will provide a graphic picture of what I'm trying to explain, and then it will read it off of all the technicalities, and then you'll be able to see the metaphors that were used in that presentation, and it will become clear to you. If you are going to walk in victory, are you still with me? If you are ever going to walk in victory, these fundamentals must be adequately understood, and it is needful for you to know that God is aware that there was nothing you could do to escape the justice of heaven. And so righteousness is given to you as a gift. Like all gifts that come from the Father of Light, we will need adequate illumination to understand its full import so that we can harness his possibilities, his potentials maximally. I think the book of Genesis chapter 25 first. Genesis 25, 28 will give us a snapshot before we go to Genesis 27. Now, Genesis 25, 28 gives us, it's a commentary. It's a quiet commentary that reveals the status of the politics that was at work in the household of a man called Isaac. It was a quiet politics. In fact, if you are a good father, you're a good husband, to an extent you are a politician. Because in order for you to manage that family system, there's a lot of politics that is involved at that level. And if you are successful, you can operate in politics at any level. May the Lord give you understanding. I speak to the wise. This is the political situation in this household. And Isaac loved Esau. And there's a reason why Isaac loved Esau. Because his soul was in love with venison. The source of the venison that he normally enjoyed came from only one angle. It came from Esau. He loved his venison. And then Rebecca loved Jacob. This is the foundation for the politicking that is going to be taking place in this household. May the Lord give you understanding. And in shades and measures, such, and there's nothing wrong with this situation, but in shades and measures, there are favorites here and there. And the problem about this arrangement in this particular case is that the favorites and alliances affected a critical decision that was taken, which was going to model the future that was to come. So this is the political situation. You know the story in the book of Genesis chapter 27, how that Isaac the father picked it up in the spirit that his days were numbered, and he felt that the burden of the covenant of his ancestors that was on his shoulders had to be transferred to another generation. I don't know why that guy didn't just call Esau in the morning and say, see, this is what is at stake. But he added a tune to the song which made it melancholy, and he asked a young man to go and look for venison. Let this your venison that I like become the trigger of the release of the blessing that I carry from my ancestors. And you know the rest of the story, how that Rebecca was able to hear that the covenant was about to be transferred, and in her own eyes she had a preference for Jacob. And the politics now entered into a very critical stage that shaped the future that was to come. Instead of going hunting, she took advantage of the livestock that was readily available in the farm that was close by, and made it in the way that the man would like. In order for Esau, in order for Jacob to be able to have that platform of receiving, he had to masquerade himself as Esau. I'm still trying to explain to you what it means when the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let us assume, therefore, that the Father only accepts Jesus. Just like Isaac, we only accept Esau for the birthright. And in order for Jacob to smuggle himself into that capacity, some form of masquerading had to take place. And he had to appear before his father as Esau, not as Jacob. He had to put his clothes on. He had to smell like him. In fact, they needed to add artificial hairs on his hands just so that he can appear perfectly in the likeness of Esau. Because our God, are you there? Like Isaac, we only accept Jesus. Only accept Esau. So he had to come in the image of Esau. He had to come dressed like Esau. He had to appear before his father as Esau. So if you are going to go before God, he will only accept Jesus. But you need to appear there as Jesus. All of that provision is made available in the kind of righteousness that God has handed out to us. So when you are going there, it is you that knows that it is you going. But from the provisions that have been made available in the systems of justice that we are dealing with, you appear there as Jesus. And it is only in that state that you can have transactions with the Father. Please help me tell your neighbor, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you do not come to God's presence just because you did something very good. You achieved a feat. You come to God's presence because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's a spiritual fact. Are you there? A spiritual fact. It is not subject to adjustments. That's the provision that we have. This righteousness that has been given to us as a gift can be properly understood in addition to the previous explanation as the activity of a judge when he declares someone discharged and acquitted. In fact, that's the being declared righteous. That's the meaning for justification. So you cannot separate justification from righteousness, because the justification that you received in the court of law was based on a pronouncement that was made by the judge declaring you free of the charges that were leveled against you. If someone wasn't in court that day and you come out of court and the person still accuses you of what you were accused for before you were discharged and acquitted, that person can be liable. Are you there? It is in the same context that forgiveness becomes possible. I hope you know that in this covenant we have forgiveness. Paul warns us, though, that we should not consider the availability of forgiveness as a means to abuse grace. So people are going into iniquity because they know forgiveness is available, and that when they finish the iniquity, then they reach out to forgiveness so that they can still sustain right standing with God. In fact, the implication of that is that, first of all, you have been deceived by sin. And there are 8 consequences that befalls a believer that is operating under the deception of sin. That's a topic for another day. When the title of that message is Walking on the Touchline, on the Touchline. If you still know football, you cannot be playing outside of the touchline and you think you are still playing the game. You are outside of the touchline. So, the fact that forgiveness exists does not mean that we should abuse it. However, forgiveness became an availability in this particular arrangement, because God is aware that before you arrive at maturity, you are going to make a lot of mistakes. In fact, are you there? Make a lot of mistakes. Not mistakes that are intentioned, but mistakes that arise from ignorance. And it is only the days of ignorance that God will overlook. Don't think he keeps overlooking. So God knows mistakes that have been made that are direct results of what? He will overlook it. But is the reason for which he has made this arrangement of forgiveness available is so that we can take advantage of it and arrive at maturity where heaven can trust us. Heaven can commit resources to us in trust, and we will manage it and implement the will of God without faltering. Are you still with me? All right. So, first thing I need to ask here is, what are the advantages that we have because we have right standing with God? Because righteousness makes us to be clear of any ill according to the law. So you have right standing. What advantages do we have? What possibilities are available to us because of our right standing? And your right standing, remember, is given to you as what? As a gift. Number one, your being declared righteous before God gives you the audacity to stand before God without inferiority and without condemnation. The sense of inferiority that I don't qualify. It is expected that the fact that you were declared righteous has removed that complex, that negative complex of not being qualified to stand before God. How many of you have ever had this experience? You did something wrong, and even though you confessed, you just couldn't connect with God again. Couldn't get yourself to connect. Have you ever been there before? Oh, I know you have never been there. You are high in spirit. It's for we like this that are still trying to find the ropes. Now listen. Satan, who happens to be an attorney himself, will use the instrument of condemnation to fight your alignment with God. Are you there? And so if you are going to be a Christian that is an enterprising Christian, you need to understand the up-to-date value of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has a threefold application. Are you still with me? I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
A threefold application. First of all, the first application of the blood is Godward. Godward. And the best illustration for that is the situation that we have in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest shows up and he takes the blood of atonement, he passes through the outer court, passes through the holy place, and he goes into the Holy of Holies, and then he uses that blood to sprinkle on all the furniture that is in the Holy of Holies. Then the cry of that blood, the vocabulary of that blood, passes into the realm of the Spirit. And God, by reason of that blood that has been shed, now decides the justice system of heaven covers the sin of the land so God can relate with them without the distraction of sin in view. Now, in that arrangement, I hope you know the Holy of Holies does not have a window. There's no window there. It is God that knows the value of that blood that was brought to him that had the capacity to sate his vengeance, his anger for sin. I hope you know all of that is divine. Oh my, you're not here. Do you still remember when Jesus rose from the dead and Mary was coming to hug him and Jesus refused that, because if she had done that, all the things that he paid for would have become only Mary's possession. Redemption. He had not yet appeared before his Father in the Holy of Holies in order for him to present that blood for scrutiny, so that the potential of the blood can be ascertained from the perspective, the lens of God's justice system. So he asked the woman not to touch him because he needed to go into the Holy of Holies. And it is when Jesus had gone into the Holy of Holies, Paul in the book of Hebrews, operating by the Spirit of Revelation, begins to give us insight into the up-to-date value of the blood of Jesus. It was in that instance that Paul said that there is a new and a living way through which we can approach God without condemnation. It is by that blood. So I can step into the Holy of Holies right now and do business where God is, because there's a blood that God has already accepted that has paved the way. That way was not open before. It became open the moment the blood was articulated in the true sanctuary, which is the heavenly sanctuary. So the first implication of the blood is Godward. Please help me tell your neighbor that. The first implication of the blood is Godward. The second implication of the blood is Satanward. For the Bible says that he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. No matter how you like a commodity that you go to the market to buy, do you pay twice? All right. So anytime Satan comes your way, or the trader, EFCC, comes to visit you, what you need to do is that you show them the receipt, which is a proof that you paid. So the blood is that receipt. I've been paid for. I'm God's property. You no longer have any claim to me. You no longer have any hold on my destiny. I have been paid for. And even though I'm a good commodity, there was no need to pay for me twice. And they overcame him by what? The blood. Then in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says that the blood is potent enough to purge our hearts from an evil conscience. This is heartward. We have the first application is Godward. Second application is what? Satanward. Third application is what? Heartward. Now, the heartward dimension is what I want to talk about. Maybe in your conversation you now lie, and then the Holy Spirit now applies pressure on your heart to show you that, hey, that statement you made was not consistent with its nature. You need to deal with that situation. And then you now say, hey, forgive me. And if you know the up-to-date value of the blood of Jesus, the moment you said, forgive me, the transaction has been completed. However, Satan is not aware whether you know the word. So you can say, forgive me, and he still comes and he applies condemnation to your heart. And many of you will carry it, Satan's condemnation. Many of you will carry it and say, oh, and begin to sorrow. Meanwhile, from the position of God's justice system, you've been discharged, you've been acquitted, because he's the one that created the clause for forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a judicial fact. Are you there? It's a judicial fact, it's not a feeling. So, the devil tormented me a lot. I was so sensitive. And I was even afraid to talk. Because when I talk, he will put the condemn. Until I studied the Bible and I found out that he was taking advantage of the fact that I was ignorant. And if, are you there? If your conscience is not free, it is suggestive of the fact that you have a hole in your armor and you will fail in battle. Hopefully. So the devil plays with us, especially if we do not understand the position of the word of God. It plays with us. What benefits do we derive? Because we have right standing with God. You can come into God's presence without inferiority. That's the first. Without inferiority and without condemnation. That's number one. Two, your righteousness creates the platform for prayer interaction. You see, when you have been able to secure that platform before God without condemnation, without inferiority, then you can begin to communicate with God. What secured our prayer premise is the arrangement of our justification. Are you there? That is suggestive. You are not following me. That is suggestive of the fact that the covenant that we call the new covenant is a covenant of access. So all of these things, judicial things that God has made available, is to create a premise for access. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17. Access. Access. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Now, you know, I like this scripture. If you have been with me for a while, you will know that this is a scripture I normally like to fall upon if it's within the vicinity of the argument. I like it. He said, now the Lord is that spirit. And I told you that the noun there is referring to in the resurrection. This is Paul trying to show us the address of Jesus. And he's saying that in the resurrection, just like, hey, how many of you have ever planted? You planted something before? Planted corn, you planted, and then you ate from what you planted. Because the way I'm seeing you with your thigh, it doesn't seem like you've troubled the earth ever in your life. But I have. I've planted. And I'm a farmer, if you are not aware of that. Now, when you cast corn into the ground and it germinates, the corn might be white. It might be yellow, depending on the species. If it germinates, it becomes green. Total change of configuration. Total change in its conformation. And so, the Bible is saying that Jesus Christ that used to know was planted in death as a seed. And when he resurrected, he became that spirit. A change in conformation. A change in configuration. Whereas the Jesus of the Bible was limited to a location at a time. When he germinated as the Holy Ghost, such limitations no longer exist. He is everywhere at every time, even in the Kaaba of Saudi Arabia. I know you, most of you were there when I talked about the change of regime. What is our new normal in the dispensation of the Spirit as against the time when Jesus walked this world? When Jesus walked this world, it was manual. Now it is automatic. We have a better promise established upon better foundations in this new arena. And it was Jesus himself that said, it is better for the Holy Ghost to come. It's him that said that. Okay? Are you still with me now? So the Bible is saying that noun there is suggestive of resurrection. I don't have time to take you back a few verses. And then we'll build the progression of revelation. He said, in resurrection, the Lord is that spirit. So if you are going to encounter the Lord is trapped in the Holy Ghost. Every encounter you have with the Holy Ghost, you can access the mind of the Lord in the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Every encounter you have with the Holy Ghost, you can access the kingdom of God in the Holy Ghost. Just like the Lord is that spirit, is trapped in the spirit, the kingdom of God is trapped in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is in the spirit. So when you gave your life to Christ, God transmitted his kingdom into you as the spirit. Just like you have access to GSM network because your SIM card is inserted into your phone. And then you begin to see that the network in your vicinity is very strong. It is capable of video calls. It's capable of text messages. It's capable of voice calls. All of that was made possible because the SIM card was introduced into the phone. The phone itself has a few functions that it can manifest without the SIM card. Are you there? The calculator can work without the SIM card. The touch light can work without the SIM card. But the reason for which you bought the phone was not because of touch light, because you have a touch light at home. You have a calculator at home. But when you introduce the SIM card, the exclusive reason for which you got the phone begins to find expression. And then the SIM card is the tool that has the capacity to take advantage of the algorithm of the network. The frequency of the network. And then you use the potential of that network for video calls, for voice calls, for text messages. You can send music, you can send pictures. All of that becomes possible just because you are accessing the network and you are taking advantage of it. Are you still with me? In the same way, The kingdom of God is in the spirit. Jesus cannot be accessed in the spirit. He's trapped in the spirit. And Paul is trying to bring you up to date with the current realities that are obtainable in the new covenant. He says, now. What? We need to do Bible study. We need to do Bible study. So that you will see, hey, if you study the scriptures, you will know it is true. You will know this, what I'm reading here is true. Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I told you, if you click on the word liberty, using your Strong's exhaustive concordance, you will find out that it is ancient English. It means access. So what God gives to us in this new covenant, by reason of the fact that he declared us righteous, is that he has deliberately provided for us access to him. So what you are today is a function of what you did with the access that he provided. You know, I've been telling us that there are dimensions of God that you will never see until you begin to pray for long. The access that you have to God is one of the currencies that God has made available to establish his purpose in your life. You might decide not to take advantage of the access. That's your business. It means you don't want to operate the way God designed you to operate. He created an outlet for access so that your possibilities will be determined by your use of access. Are you still with me? Now, if somebody in this room has access to the governor of Benue State, and the governor is favorably disposed to you, I don't know what you will make out of that access. That access can translate to land, to landed property. The access can translate to scholarship. The access can translate to a job in Abuja. You know what I'm talking about? The access can translate to. But it's not the governor that we are trying to see. There is deliberate access without protocol. No one to question you, no questionnaire for you to fill in order for you to gain access into his chamber. He created a deliberate system that guarantees access. And then you will become a product of how you use the access. That's the reason why when I preach the gospel, I use a lot of personal examples to buttress my points so that you will know that it's possible. Yeah, personal. If you apply the principles that I teach, you will have the same results, even better results. Better results. I know people that I have not met physically that have sent in their testimony that they started listening to us for about 3 years and they began to practice the things that we teach, because one of the strongest pillars of apostolic truth is this doctrine of access that I'm talking about. That's one of the strongest pillars of apostolic truth. Another strong pillar of apostolic truth is that the Holy Ghost is a person, and the Holy Ghost is from heaven, and he wants to begin to recalibrate us to be able to take advantage of resources that heaven makes available in order for the insufficiencies that are bound in the earth to lack the ability to stop the realization of our potential. Another major pillar of apostolic truth is the mission of the cross. The cross is an instrument of justice, of judgment. It's a judgment on the old creation, and it is a great divide. I don't have time to pull that. Hallelujah. There are about 12 major doctrinal pillars that are hanging in New Testament theology. And in order for every Christian to become a bright reflection of the vision that God had, in order for which he paid the price in his son to bring you into the estate of justice that you currently have access to, is so that his original plan for man can find expression. So the first thing we enjoy is the blessing of access. Can you help me ask your neighbor, what have you done with your access to God? Someone came, I just saw someone today, and he said, for the past 6 months I've been trying to see you. See, Men might be difficult to see, to trap. But Jehovah is available. In this ministry, I've not built this ministry around myself. If I'm no longer here today, nothing, as I deliberately did not build it around myself. Yes, I have a few gifts, a few anointings of, at work in my life, but so also my brothers. Because we all have access. Some of the issues that I attended to since I came back were not issues that were that are necessarily or particularly issues that only me can handle. Please take advantage of, we have furnished offices for pastors so that you can see anyone if you are in trouble. But know this, the reason we are opening those offices and furnishing them is not so that you become a babe for life. We will attend to your wounds and administer first aid today with the hope that you will accept to be recruited as one of the prayer minions in the family. Because the first inoculation that we give you here is inoculation into prayer. If you are here and you cannot pray for 5 hours, it means you evaded the systems that God used his wisdom to set up in this place. It means you are still a casualty. You are walking on crutches. May the Lord give you understanding. Are you there? These are things we have modeled. We have searched into it. We have walked in it. And we have seen the blessing that is in it. So we are coming from the place of experience. From the foot of the tree of life. To give you a testimony. That you can also have your own experience with God. Because he has made access available. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second thing that righteousness affords us. One is access, as you have seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning from verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 3. So we are going to do a practical at the end of my teaching. And what we want to achieve is to find where God is. If your spirit is full of like 2 hours prayer, it should take you 15 minutes to find God, his location, where he's seated, for you to begin to take advantage of him. We'll look for him. He's somewhere. You see, right now I don't know where he is. But I know I have access. That's a currency. It's just like you have money in your pocket, but you don't have maize. You can get maize with money. I have access in my pocket. That means I will find God. He's available to me. And I must find him. Because if you need him enough, you'll find him. For the Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart, he doesn't have the capacity to despise. If you really need him, he will show up. If you really want him, he will come. You want to know your future. You want to know the choices to make so that you'll be in line with that which he wants to design out of your life. If you really need that input from him, he will come. Don't lean on your methods, on your strategies, on former victories. No. You can't use former strategies to accomplish victory in current wars. The idea that is set up in scripture is that God must be sought out because he has created a system of access. So you will seek him every day. That's how he wants it. He created you as a creature, a being of prayer. The best of you will find expression when you begin to accept that you have been condemned to prayer. That's the only outlet he made available. Outlet of access. I will walk on the path that he has created. And he galvanized and furnished that path with his blood. So that through his blood, the speakings of his blood, we can draw near unto him. We can do what? We can draw near. We can draw near. I was in the village, in the heart of Kogi State, calling on God. We didn't even know why we began to pray, other than the fact that my pastor was a prayer man and he would compel you to pray. And we were workers and we couldn't escape. The flesh was revolting on the high side. Revolting prayer on the high side. But we were sentenced to prayer because my pastor, he will afflict you with prayer. So a time came, we started getting used to it. Well, that's part of what we suffered in order for us to be around. And one of those night vigils, God, I knew it was God. There was no doubt in my heart. God touched me. He touched me. He touched me. And I felt his touch. You must have seen me. I think my wife will tell you, I don't cry. Nothing on earth can make me cry. Nothing. Nothing. That's not my way. If someone dies, my own way of grief is different. My own way of grief is different. It's a call to praying in tongues for long. That's how I grieve. You know, we are of different species. We are different. It's a call to pray in tongues. That's, if you see me praying long, I'm grieving. There's a problem. When the Lord touched me that night, I cried. And I was crying. I knew I was crying. I didn't know why I was crying, but I could not stop crying. Have you ever cried like that before? I cried. I knew it touched me. Do you know what power I had because I knew God could touch a man? You know, I was a novice. I was a juvenile. I didn't know how to expect the touch of God. I didn't know how to expect the voice of God. But I was willing to go on an adventure. The second significant thing that happened to me was that one night after worshiping, then he said my name and it was audible. I said, so you can talk. It was audible. I felt as if a honeycomb was broken into my heart. It felt sweet here. Jesus Christ. That's intercourse. He said my name. These are things that Satan will want to hide from you, that he can speak to you, that he can come to your bedroom. I remember I was in serious persecution when we started this war. Serious persecution. All things were going bad. And one of those evenings, electricity was withdrawn from NEPA. And that place was so dark. And God began to shine from my wall. He was shining from the wall for 30 minutes. The whole wall began to glow in my room. Wow. What a beauty. Those were the things that did damage to the fact that I couldn't access God. All of that was damaged. And I knew he was there. I knew he was sitting not far from me, but he was sitting in another dimension. And the only way I could access him was that I will need to pray. Because in praying, you begin your journeys in the spirit. You begin your navigations on spiritual pathways in search of your inheritance. And God begins to upgrade you from dimension to dimension. Even if you are careful, you will know that your prayer changes gear. Those are dimensional access. Until you come to a place where you can see his shape and hear his voice. I have done that again and again and again since I discovered it was possible. Those are truths that Satan will labor to hide so that you remain in the shadows and you'll be thinking that God is far away from you. You still remember the spiritual knowledge that came to Peter when he went to Cornelius' house? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that doeth, feareth God and walketh righteousness is accepted of him. If you go into the closet, you will come to that same conclusion, that God is no respecter of persons. I will follow Jesus. I will follow him in the night time. I will seek his face. I want to know how he feels. It's not just about what I need. I want to cultivate an interaction with him that is beyond need, that is rooted in friendship, is rooted in intimacy. It's not need-based. I just want to know how you feel. The same way I come to my wife, I read her face, and it's difficult for me to know how she feels. And I crack a joke. I loosen the tension. And I'm good. I'm good in that. Jesus. You know, if you have sought the Holy Ghost before, you have sought Jesus, and you know how to find him and to disarm him, you can disarm your wife. What's that? When I see people in family problem, I say, how can I transmit this understanding to this man? They say they have family problem. Disarm God as you navigate. Use the same principle. Women are easy. We touch. As you are seeing me, I am not dying now. I have peace at home. There's peace everywhere. Everything is working. You know how to seek God, you will disarm people. You know, you will know what to do. Oh, I went, I preached somewhere. I was so powerful. And pastors that were older than myself, obviously, they came to kneel down before me. So I now knelt down too. He struck a chord in their heart. They said, what man is this that doesn't carry? His carriage is not according to the anointing that he has on the pulpit. You know that anointing is sovereign. It's a gift. This is who I am. I'm a humble man. I don't mind kneeling. I don't mind lying down. When you now begin to add carriage to the matter, carriage, you become bound again. Meanwhile, a lot of price was paid for you to find liberty. Then you now choose bondage. Oh. I want to be bound to one thing and one thing only. That when I begin to disconnect with him in my soul, let my bound with him make me uncomfortable. So that we know it's time to travel. It's time to journey. It's time to journey again. Because the blessedness that he has made available to us is in access. It's in access. In a moment of time, we're going to look for him. Then you will now discover he's not far from any one of us. I challenge you to explore access. Be determined. You can set a time in the night so that your prayer will be a sacrifice. Spirits understand the language of sacrifice. I'm going to stay in the night, and I'll be staying in the night until I find the way that leads to the quarters of Zion, where the king can wield his scepter and make a decree concerning my life, that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. The last time I approached him, he was glowing with light, and he said, there is nothing in Africa that can destroy you. That's the last. It's nothing. We have gone from place to place. There was no land that was too strong for us. The moment we arrived there, I think they advised themselves, demons, and leave. No need to fight. You need to be crazy. You are too, the way you are comported, you are pious and sanctimonious. What we need are radicals, men that can press into the kingdom. For me, access is currency. And I derive value from it. Our God can yet speak. Our God can yet proclaim. Our God can yet reveal. Our God can yet anoint. Our God can yet empower. So why should I be dry? Why should I be without spiritual resources? Why must my own destiny be under demonic watch and control when I have access to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords? The Bible says, how much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign by one Christ Jesus. Your access is supposed to translate to dominion. I'm supposed to reign because he gave me access. But may the access not remain access. May it translate to reigning. To reigning. How much more? They that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign. Can you tell your neighbor, I will reign? It doesn't matter what the devil is doing, I will reign. My destiny is to reign. I will not stop fighting until I reign. I did not ask God to say he wants me to reign. He spoke it himself. Now it is a law. It is a decree. It stands. And it will not be any different in my life. I will reign. Are you there? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning from verse 3. It says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in much afflictions, in much necessities, in distresses. Yeah? In stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fasting. These fastings here is not the type you think. It's fasting because there's no food. These are the pressures that these guys went through. But they did not offend in the midst of the pressures. It means these guys, they knew something that we do not know. There were torments. There were storms. There were fastings. There were watchings. In the night. There were labors on the field. There were imprisonments. And none of us has experienced that. There were stripes. So what kept these guys positive? I don't have time. Yeah, go on. By pureness. In the midst of stripes, their strategy was pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness by the Holy Ghost, and love unfeigned. Now, are you still capable of love in the midst of stripes, the midst of torments? There was an energy that these guys found which is not available to the mortal man. And if you read these accounts from a cerebral mind, you will realize the departure from the experience of a normal man. Something is missing in this account. Access. It will make you a creature that men will never be able to understand. So much pressure can be around your life. I remember those days, you know, when we started gaining mileage in prayer. I was a university student and we began to gain mileage. There was no food, many times, no food. But there was this joy that was locked up in my soul that I could not explain. And that joy, have you been there before? That's the blessing that God gives a man that exploits the corridor of access. There is a joy that gives you the capacity to be able to go through stress and be positive. Go through challenge, go through pressure and be positive. If I see you on the streets broken, many of you, I see you just be broken like this. I have to crack a joke to revive them. Because you will never see me broken. And I say this in the name of the Lord. If you explore these assets I'm talking about, what's the worst thing that can happen? You lost your brother. I've been there. I was high in spirit. I did not feel the grief. You know, in our family, some of us look like our mom. I look like my mother. And then my other brethren look like my father. It's only me and that guy that look like our mother. But I was with the king. He made his presence so robust. He enlarged himself in my chamber. But I could not feel grief. There is a place where there is no sorrow. A place where the river is. For the Bible says that there is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, you will not be capable of sorrow in the presence of that river. These guys went through all kinds of storms, stripes, imprisonments, watchings, fastings, labors. But yet, this was their strategy. In the midst of the above, they were still pure. They were righteous people. They were holy men. You, what made you started taking bribe was because you couldn't go through the stress. Some people have already passed the test. And on the day of reckoning, you will not be excused. Because this cloud of witnesses will be physical evidence that there was a power in Jesus Christ that was an antidote to the situation that you had to survive under. A strategy was knowledge. Every experience that they had manifested in greater knowledge of the way our God works, how he prospers people, how he makes them strong, how he raises a man from the dust, from the dunghill, and sets him among princes. If you decide not to be discouraged, this is going to be your story. The rugged process was supposed to equip you with God's technology, God's approach for making men. There is no situation you put a man of access that makes him disadvantaged. It was imprisonment that they put Paul and Silas. In the night, they prayed in tongues and sang praises. They didn't know when they entered the angelic realm. And the angels came to fellowship with them. And the Bible says the prison house, it opened. There is a place in the spirit. If you find that place, bondages cannot stay. Bondages. Chains. Fetters. Bounds. Can't stay. Of their own accord, they will give way. I remember the imprisonment of Peter. The Bible says that he was locked up in the midst of four quaternions of soldiers. Have you been there before? Maybe something over your life and it is in a prophetic service, it breaks. And the moment that one breaks, you enter another bondage. It's a technology in the kingdom of darkness called quaternions. There are four, the security code has four passcodes. So he's loose from this. He enters a more terrible one, a more bitter one. And it's the night after he testifies that he's brought into the captivity of the next stage. Any attempt to raise the head is quaternions, that you can't see the deliverance in sight. Goes through the second stage, he's brought into the third one. More vicious entities hold him on. But you know what? In fact, he stopped praying and he went to sleep. Because you see, this time, this is a strange time. He stopped praying. Was, I don't know who I'm speaking to. He just laid there in surrender. What sponsored his deliverance was energy that was gathered from another source. He himself had submitted in defeat to that circumstance. He said, what's going to be, is going to be. When the angel came, the angel tapped him and brought him into angelic pathways. And in those pathways, chains, bounds, cannot survive. They gave way in their own accord. I have lived long enough under God to see that what we call our challenges is just another way, a very intelligent way of expressing the fact that we have lost access. The angel came and moved the man into his own pathway. And then the chains could not survive there. It took place so easily that Peter himself doubted his deliverance. Peter wanted to run out naked. The angel said, no, this is not a rescue strategy. It is a red carpet reception. Put on your garment. Put on your garment. Put on your garment. He was in a haste. Where we are now, there is no bondage. Oh, you can find that place. There is no bondage here. And the Bible says that when they came to the iron gate of the city, what happened? He gave way of his own accord. That's the most dreaded gate of iron in that time. Japheth is a security operative. You know the way we were trying to build a station here, and they told us that we need to put burglary in the ceiling, burglary everywhere, so that if there's a criminal there and he becomes inspired, the escape ideology inspires him, he will meet with futility at the ceiling. The Bible says the giant gate of the city, what happened to it? There is a place in God where bondage cannot survive. Bondage cannot survive. You see, you are using the eyes of a man to analyze your bondage. Then you see series quaternions. You don't see yourself. God will send his angel tonight, and that angel will touch you and bring you into pathways in the spirit where bondage is not possible. The guy came out of the chamber and he walked free on the city. He still felt he was in a vision. It's not everything that God wants you to understand, but he can take you through experiences that he will never explain. Access is a wonder that the Christians of our age are yet to fully explore. You say in your city that they shed blood there. There is a place you can go to, and all that is done in darkness will be of no consequence. It was a deliverance I went to do somewhere. I was in 300 level. The moment I did that deliverance and came back, the demon followed me. High up into the heavens. You could see wickedness. Wickedness was a literal part of his makeup. Somehow there was something that restrained the spirit from destroying me. I have seen demons before. They are like monkeys. Some like dogs. This one was not a dog. This one was a beast. A beast that was like an ape, but he had the face of a cat. And he looked at me. He looked at me. It was high up into the heavens, like this ceiling. And he bent down to look at me. I've seen such creatures twice. Once I went to pray for a lady in Port Harcourt, and when I got home, I saw a siren from the water, green with spirogyra. And in the second instance too, somehow there was something that restrained that vicious entity from destroying me. There is a place where bondages cannot survive. I am alive today because Satan did not win. If you are still with me, say amen. Were you told that in your company in Egumale, the umbilical cord of everybody in that family is at the foot of a certain tree? As long as the tree flourishes, the reproach in your life will flourish. You are about to hear a different news this night. Access. Access. Access made this man a different species of mortals. They were capable of long suffering. What is it that gave them hope? Such that in the midst of long suffering, they were positive. They yielded to process. There was something that gave them inner hope, gave them the possibility of inner strength. It's called access. Oh, that is one of the blessedness of the righteousness that have been committed to us as a gift. Where you are seated, because we want to try to do a practical right now, to locate where God is now. Hallelujah. Can you find him? Can you, hey, have you read the book of Songs of Solomon before? You hear how a man wants to chase God, an adventure in search of the most beautiful, of the lily that is in the valley. The valley is a depression, it's a place, an undulating environment, but in the center of it, there is a lily. Can you find the lily that is in that valley? Oh, only that lily can adorn you with beauty. Satan wants to diminish the image of God that you carry and to make nonsense of it. But we have the blessing of access. Oh, we search for you. We seek you, oh Jesus. It is you that will seek all the days of our lives. Our days will be spent in exploring your beauty, in exploring your wonder, as we have seen it in the sanctuary. Oh, mama, take a souvenir. Right where you are sitting. Right where you are sitting. Want to trace him. Lord, do not let us alone. Do not leave us alone. Do not leave us alone. We are helpless before the enemy. Without your strength, without your covering, without your power, without your glory, do not leave us in this condition. Come to our aid. Come to our support. Come to our aid. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. The intentions of darkness is to so malign us and manipulate us until your image within us is trodden underfoot. But we have you, the strength of Israel. Oh, do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. Consider us in your mercy. Consider us in your mercy. Grant unto us, Lord, such salvation that will make Satan understand that even before he attempted, you had created the pathway of victory already. We will serve you forever. Our sons and daughters will serve you. Our children's children will serve you in their generation. Oh God, our Father. Have you dropped your weapon already? Have you thrown in the towel already? The strength of Israel will not lie. Ayato semina kunde ambri sokobahala. Have you given up already? Have you surrendered already? The strength of Israel will not lie. Kafo seminaito ebudakaba shamende eleko bilahayeto sima mama mataya. Rakabasuke brenda kamelata. Asasasala babata kate. Aratatatataba alababoda basalabande. Atebosi. Out of the midst of that confusion, a story of glory will emerge. Naibo Santoria Baradani. Escobria Sike Vanteli. Escubria la baba basata, Raka Santa Baboya, Raka Debia Sike, Rakamatala Baboro. Aha. Yetobina Shelie. I lo 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 la 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 la. Your name is holy. You are the Lord. Hey! For your name is holy. Your name is holy. You are the Lord. Esile mondeli ala bobosia kabelaita. For your name. Your name is holy. You are the Lord. We will serve you all our days. Hey, Baraso Seli Mekedia. Kumbasima na monasaila. Ebrosketoma. Ebrosanta baboya. Ebrokura masanta. Eromo Santa, Lata Matana Baboe, Yakame Sobria Tababo Tatana, Akabata Tatana, Akabata Babosa, Ibre Setoba, Abaito, Aramasiko, Askabata Babala, Ebra Manse, Ebra Kuba Tatua, Ebra Sabata Babone, Akabata Babo, Akabata Babasanta, Ibra Nasanta Baboe. Esso salaito, abelatoa, abakunde, abasanda, abamanta, abamoleta, abamasakata. Seek you forever for the strength of Israel will not lack. The strength of Israel will never lack. Give you praise in the name of Jesus. Can you make a commitment to the Lord tonight? Say, Lord, I will seek you. That's what the psalmist said. Say, early, I will seek you. I will seek you. I will seek your face. I will strive to look upon your beauty. I will strive to seek you. I'll pay the price to seek you. I will take advantage of my access. I will explore you. I will explore your reality. I will explore your reality, your realm. Shiaboko Semalia. Asanta Babonde de Kise Nahilo Bronde. Zaminai kompela masaka bahanda. Yes, kotila monde. Kora nasike. Aparatatalia. Eskomina intambo samanande. Abraske tomina. Avada mantelia. Esuse naite. Abresko fila matataya. Ekomandele. Ekomandele. Jambarataba boria. Eskopada kunya. Thank you, Lord. He has decided to make himself visible. Your name is holy. You are Lord. Sailing in the boat. Sailing in the boat. Emina salailo mama mena, emina zaila boba. Hey, Jesus. Seina nena na bose na, emina laiko mama la nesi. Seina na bola na. Oh, we give you praise. He has decided to make himself visible. There is a place in him where bondages cannot survive. So you will walk out free tonight. You will walk out free. Oh my God. Oh my God. You will walk free. You will walk free. You will walk free. You will walk free. Abambo sehila hateli. The chains will fall off of their own accord, and the fetters will be broken. For the Lord will wrought a great deliverance today. Give your glory. Ante Bosiko Baramala Height. Thank you, Father. If you are here tonight, and you have not said yes to Jesus, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, I submit. I don't want to be a child of the devil. I submit to you. I submit my life before you. Take me. Do with me what you please. If you have not said that, and you have not confessed your sin before Jesus, this will be a wonderful night for you to take that bold step of faith and come under the custody of the great Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anybody in the audience making this decision, I'd like you to indicate by a raise of hand. Anyone that is saying, Jesus, I want to turn my life over. Yes? Anyone in the congregation, before we continue. Anyone in the congregation, I want to turn my life over to you. You have the opportunity right now. Anyone in the congregation. All right, so we want to take for granted that everybody here is born again. Yeah? Someone? Okay, you are most welcome. Most welcome. Anyone in the congregation? He has a place for you. He has room for you. So, Pastor Tony, you can take them to your chamber and talk with them briefly so that they join us for the next 15 minutes. Please, walk with that, Pastor. Can you celebrate the Lord for... All right. Yes, you can still join in. You can still join in. I say, Jesus, forgive my sin. Write my name in the book of life. Because the prayer I want us to pray for the next 15 minutes here, I want only those that are born again to pray. And if you know you have a problem with your status as a kingdom citizen, please, that's the way to go. All right? That's the way to go before we pray. Meanwhile, I see someone in the congregation, you have been suffering from this situation of a migraine. The half of your head has been pounding for 3 months. Half of your head has been pounding for 3 months. Where is that person? Half of your head has been pounding for 3 months. Make your way to the front. I saw that in the spirit. Now listen to me. Listen to me. The Lord has deployed some angels here to help us. He has deployed some angels to help us already. And they are active on this side. Hallelujah. See, I don't know how to explain it. Let me give you an insight. Okay, no need. Yeah. He has released angels to help us already. Don't come one. If I mention a case, you come at once. Don't be trickling in. He has sent angels to help us already. Now listen to me. Second thing I saw is that there is somebody in this congregation. The spirit of insanity has been sent to your life. And I know it's difficult to believe that. So we'll ask God to show us who the person is. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus. That one in this congregation that the spirit of insanity. You are aware? You know? Okay. Normally people don't like coming out when those issues are mentioned. Who? Ogbe. You need to take the mic, and we need proper interview so that we will not pray for the wrong people. Please, if you can be fast, it will be wonderful. If you can be fast, it will be wonderful. The angels of the Lord are already here to help us. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm seeing a grave, an open grave. This sign, I know it so well. Anytime I see this sign, it means that there's somebody in the congregation that the spirit of death has been following around. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that one that the spirit of death has been following around, please help me find the person in the congregation. Help me find the individual in the congregation. Because tonight we'll send back the messenger of death to any place from whence it was sent, in the name of Jesus Christ. The grave is already open. Can we pray in tongues for a moment to shut down this policy of the kingdom of darkness? You don't come to the house of God to die. Esumene kereso kamba laito kabaha. Loose them, Satan. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, do you know what I see now? I see someone that is in service today, but the situation is that death is hovering over your family. He released angels to help us already. It's hovering over your family. They are looking for someone to take. Someone to take. To sacrifice. Someone to sacrifice quickly to balance an account. But I cut off that plan of the enemy. I cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost fire come. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire come everywhere. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire come. Oh fire. The angels that anoint, they just came now, the ones that anoint. Now, there are going to be seven people that will be given a significant anointing. Seven. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for opening this window. Now we ask the seven individuals that you came to anoint, let your hand be strong on them. From my left hand side to my right hand side. To the back of the hall, to the balcony, the seven individuals that you came to visit, let your hand begin to drop. Let your hand begin to locate them. Let your hand begin to locate them. Yeah, so he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Let your hand begin to locate them. Let your hand be strong on them. Holy Ghost fire. Oh, fire. Lord, I have touched them already. So let the demons leave them now. Let the demons go now. because I have touched them. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Let the demons go. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. So there's a lady here. There's a lady here. That your life is about to change, actually. In the next 12 months, the lady is here. In 12 months, it's going to be an experiment for 12 months, and there's going to be a total turnaround. And the hand of God will touch you. The hand of God will touch you. The hand of God will touch you so mightily. There's a lady there. You are sitting somewhere here, and the hand of God will be coming to you. And I'm actually sent to you. So the hand of God will touch you. The hand of God will come on you. You came with so many questions in your heart. Ushers, if you find that lady, bring her. Bring her. So many questions. There's a program for transformation around your life. There's a program for transformation. A program for transformation. Can we pray in tongues for the next 2 minutes? Something is coming into this place. Something is coming. Something is coming here. Mante so come le kirabata. Entamo koda hasi kobre. Yanto sekila mahanta bokodala. Yanto seka manko pelamina. Yanto sekila bando koria. Yanto kobela shike. The name of Jesus. There's somebody in the hall. What I see that God is giving you is prophetic dreams. The anointing for prophetic dreams. That's the anointing. It's for insight. Now listen. Now, those of you that have touched, you can take your seats. A new door, a new day opens over your life. A new day opens over your life. A new day opens over your life. Listen to me. The Lord speaks to me. He says, hallelujah. The Lord says there is someone here that has a bladder problem. Bladder. You have a problem with your bladder. The Lord wants to heal you tonight. You have a problem with your bladder. I'm waiting for that individual. You have a problem with your bladder. And God wants to heal the person that has a problem with his bladder. Where is the Ogbe that is supporting me in this ministry? I don't want to pray for the wrong people, so interview them. So, because there are intelligent people in the hall thinking that we are staging. They think we are running a show here. Bladder. That's what I heard. Listen. Are you? Now listen to me. Can you please? There is somebody in this congregation. I've never heard this since I started picking prophetic words. This person, he died briefly. He died briefly. And you came back to life. Come here. You actually died. But you came back to life. Briefly. Come to me. Quickly. Come. Are you the one? Now, come. Where's the bro? Just wiggle your way, wiggle your way, wiggle your way. You too, you had the experience, you died. How are you sure? How are you sure you died?
Yeah, on the 5th of October 2014, it was on Sunday, if you check your this, your calendar very well.
Okay.
So, there was a call, and I picked a phone call, and I picked the call. Now, I don't think I could notice what happened. I was sharping to this place, and I was gone from there. I didn't know what happened again. I later woke up in the hospital, and it was the July hospital. So they ran so many tests, and they said, what's wrong with me? And I came back to Lana.
Yeah, give us the detail of this matter.
I'm a dialysis patient. I have kidney failure. So I usually go for dialysis every week. So one of the week I went, then after the dialysis section, I was to go out and take my weight. In that process, I passed on.
You are about to experience a miracle.
I slept that night and a light shined from heaven to the wood to where I was sleeping. So that I saw my body. I saw the spirit leaving my body. When I came back, I saw my dad. I asked my dad, is it my time for me to leave this earth? And the spirit now pushed me. I went off at the roof of our house before I later came back to the bed.
You had an experience like that?
Yes, sir. In 1993.
Now, wait. I am looking... Stand there. I'm looking for... all of these people. Now, who are these other people?
These are the issue people taking with the issue of
Is your mic under attack?
God within the word of knowledge that you give concerning bladder.
Bladder.
Yes, there's one that is even particularly on catheter right
now. One of them is on catheter right now. Now, like I said, the things I'm hearing are not normal. And I'm taking my time to... Oh, yeah? Good. There are some demons that will be paralyzed today. I know you don't believe. That's why that amen was like that. But the amen was sick because faith, in Nigeria now, faith is a scarce commodity. I said the demons will be paralyzed. Well, tomorrow I will not preach for long because we need to do a lot of this. You see, the anointing has come for this kind of job. Oh. You know, the Bible says saviors will come from Zion. So there's one of us in this congregation. You are going to be a messenger that God will use in many nations. You don't need to believe it. Someone here has been chosen. And I believe this is already, it's happening in heaven now. The breaking news is that there's someone stepping into the apostolic anointing. God has spoken to you before in your closet that you are going to walk in that anointing. I'm confirming that that season in your life begins this night. Can you stretch your hand in the direction of these people right now? Stretch your hand, Tracy, and begin to pray fervently for them. Your bladder will be healed. Whether you believe it or not, your bladder will be healed this night. Makodi. So this is the prayer. This is the best that Makodi can do. pray for the life of this one. Satan wants to snatch them. We have prayed that the Lord will stop it. That the Lord will stop it tonight. And the Lord will stop it tonight. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, tonight we arrest the damage that has been done to the bladders of your people. Let there be healing tonight. We ask that you administer a cure tonight. Healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. 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 Let the spirit of infirmity be arrested right now in the name of Jesus. Let the spirit of infirmity be arrested right now in the name of Jesus. You are going to experience sharp improvement before tomorrow morning. Just make sure I touch you. The bladder people, make sure I touch you. One of you will testify. Before tomorrow morning, the angel will minister to you in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you here, Satan wants to snatch. But from what I'm seeing, yes, if I've touched you, bladder issue, you can go. Your testimony is tomorrow. Tomorrow, you sleep, you wake up. Let's see what happens tomorrow morning. Now, those of you that have death came to you, it actually took you, but somehow you were released. Huh? What happened to that lady?
She saw her spirit leave her body.
Somehow, she survived the attack.
Yeah.
Now, among all of you standing here, one of you has a case. Are you still there? You are there? Okay, one of you has a case that is an emergency. And I don't even know the person. But the Lord will show me who the person is. Father, that one whose case is an emergency, I ask that you show me among these ones. Show me among these ones. The one whose case is an emergency. Show me. Let your hand of power reveal the person. Let your hand of power reveal the person. Let your hand of power reveal the person. Let your hand of power rest on the person. And let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. On that individual, so that we will identify the individual. Yes, it's coming now. It's coming stronger. Let your hand of power, let it rest from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. In the name of Jesus, your hand of power, let it rest on that vessel. Let it rest on that vessel. Let it rest on that vessel. In the name of Jesus. 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 Name of Jesus, we put an end to the conspiracy of death hovering around your life. Come out of the grave. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Father, we present all these ones before you, and even the man that is going through dialysis. We reverse this scourge of death.
We reverse it in the name of Jesus. We reverse it in the name of Jesus. Never to come again. Let him begin to suddenly recover. In the name of Jesus. 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 We command the spirit of death to go back to sender. Back to sender. Back to sender. Back to sender. In Jesus' mighty name. You are released. Can we pray today? Can you pray for your family finally before I sit down? The devil has an agenda to execute. You can refuse it. If there's an agenda Satan wants to administer, accomplish, in the name of Jesus. Where is that person? You woke up and both of your legs were swollen. Come out. Sister, come. You woke up and both of your legs were swollen. Swollen legs. That is how he said that we know you. Both of your legs were swollen. That was what you noticed. It happened to you? Come. Your legs were swollen and you still force them in, inside of these shoes. We really appreciate the workers of this ministry. She has swollen legs, but because her department will not allow her to be barefooted, she forced them. God has seen your faith. Lord, I've touched them already. So, the one that you are referring to in this whole combination, let your fire begin to do a work. Let your fire begin to do a work so that they can be retrieved from the hand of the devil. Let your fire begin to do a work and let it be strong. Let it be a strong work, an intense work, from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Begin to do a work. 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 From the crown of the head. Oh my God. Yes. He's beginning to. She's coming out. She's coming out now. She's coming out. She's coming out. I say, come out. Come out from where you were kept. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I think we need to pray. There is a rescue. You can go. 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 But we'll pray for these three.
If we don't snatch these ones out of the hands of the predator. I see a predator. I see a predator. I see a predator. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Release her from your grip. Release her from your grip in the name of Jesus. Come out of that place. Come out of that place. Release her from your grip in the name of Jesus. Okay, they are coming out. Just keep praying. Yeah, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Mala seki mokonda mamalaita. Yes, they are coming out. They are coming out. They are coming out. I demand your release. I demand your release. I demand your release. I demand your release in the name of Jesus. Come out of the place where you were kept in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So tomorrow we have a healing night. It's just healing, deliverance, prophecy tomorrow. All right, so I'll just talk a little. Once the anointing is stirred, we'll begin to minister. So if you have people that are afflicted, people that are demonized, bring them tomorrow.